and find verse 8. And let's read. The Bible says, "And God spake unto Noah and to his sons with him, saying, And I, behold, I establish my covenant with you and with your seed after you, and with every living creature that is with you, of the fowl, of the cattle, and of every beast of the earth with you, from all that go out of the ark to every beast of the earth. And I will establish my covenant with you, neither shall all flesh be cut off any more by the waters of a flood. Neither shall there any more be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, This is the token of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. And it shall come to pass, when I bring a cloud over the earth, that the bow shall be seen in the cloud. And I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh, and the waters shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh. And the bow shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it, that I may remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, This is the token of the covenant which I have established between me and all flesh that is upon the earth." Lord, again tonight, we ask for your help. It is your help that... It is only your help that will do us any good. We ask that you would speak to us through your word, convict our hearts, encourage us tonight, help us be who you'd have us to be. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. We here in these last couple of chapters, Genesis 8 and then part of Genesis 9, we've looked at a few things. If you'll remember, we looked at the thankfulness of Noah. Whenever he got off of the ark, God did not command him to give a sacrifice of thanksgiving, but he did so. It's something that I had not thought about, had not considered, that one of you mentioned to me after church one night. Brother Phil and I were talking in the back, and Brother Phil pointed out something that I hadn't really thought about, that you'll notice that Noah took more of the clean animals with him. God commanded him to take seven, you'll remember. That's not the thing I didn't notice. I knew it said seven. But he had him take seven of the clean animals. Brother Ben pointed something out I hadn't thought about before. By doing that, what did Noah have? He had extra clean animals to make the sacrifice with. So God provided... didn't command Noah to make that offering, but God had provided the resources for him to make that offering. And you know, that's a good thought, because God provides us with a lot of things that we could be using for his glory, but we don't always do it. We saw that Noah's sacrifice was pleasing to God. And then we saw a couple of statements about things to eat and what to eat, what not to eat. Eat what you want, but cook it, not to eat blood. And we saw that if you shed another man's blood, yours will be shed. And by the way, that has never been repealed. And so now we're dealing with God's sign of his promise, or specifically, the promises of God do not fade. And we saw that there will be a time when, and this is what we looked at last week, that everything, according to 2 Peter chapter 3, will burn, will melt with a fervent heat. Even the very elements themselves will melt with a fervent heat. heat. This is the next great judgment that's coming upon the entire creation. Okay, there's another judgment. There's a judgment coming on the nation of Israel, which will be the tribulation period, and the church is called away, and then Israel will have to go through the tribulation period, and God will deal with them in that way. But there will be a time when the Lord will deal with all of creation the way that he did with the flood, but it won't be with the flood, it'll be with heat, and everything's going to melt away, and then he will make it new. But I want to look at this sign of God's promise, and I want to look at the fact that God's promises... Colin, run and get me something to clean this. I'll clean it up with this. You get me something to use as a handkerchief then. You know, that ain't bad. 5 years, and that's the first time I've done that. That really is the first time I've done that in 5 years. Oh, no, I'm not sprinkling anybody. Faith Presbyterian Church. Oh, no. Yeah. Yeah. Come up here, Phil. Yeah, but I'm afraid to tell you all that. No, it did, hey, lucky you. It got on my notes, but it didn't touch any of the words. So, yeah. Maybe you should pray harder next time. Hold on, let me get this cleaned up here. So, boy, it's a whole cup of water. I've seen his room. This makes sense. Those of you listening at home, we'll have a short intermission.
That is enough.
It's more like it. This is more like it. Just try to get enough of it up to where it doesn't ruin anything. Yeah, tip the whole thing over, preacher. We say we all just go home. Okay, I'll get the rest later. Excuse me. All right. I don't have anything to drink now, but... Maybe I'll run out. So Genesis chapter 9. Genesis chapter 9. And Brother John, would you assist Alex, please? He's all right. We just got a lady visitor outside. Genesis chapter 9, we are looking at the sign of the promise, and specifically what we want to look at is that the promises of God do not fade. God says here, I'm going to give you this sign, I'm going to set my bow in the cloud, and whenever you see this, you'll remember my promise to you and to all of creation not to destroy the earth again with a flood. And though we understand that God's promises do not fade, sometimes, like the rainbow does, the sign that we see, some of the things that we see in our lives might fade and not always be in view, and then we have to rely on our memories, and we have to rely on God's word and remind ourselves of what he told us. Now, if you go outside and it's raining or it has been raining, and you see that rainbow, you stand there, and sometimes it'll last a long time. Sometimes it's not real bright, and sometimes it's extremely bright. Sometimes there's more than one. But eventually, the skies clear up, it fades away, and it's gone, isn't it? Eventually, it fades, and the sky is clear, and you can't see it anymore. Now, I know some people like to take pictures. They like to take pictures of the rainbows, but they will eventually fade out of sight. And you might sit around and tell people, you know, I saw the most beautiful rainbow the other day. I saw the most beautiful rainbow in the sky, or there were two rainbows in the sky. But, you know, it's a day or two later. All you could do is tell them about it or show them a picture. You can't take them outside and show it to them. The sign has faded away. But just because the sign, the visible thing that we have in front of our eyes has faded away, does not mean that the promise has faded. God's promises never fade. Our memories do. Our memories are often like that rainbow in the sky, that promise from God to us that He won't destroy the earth again by a flood. We don't see it. The promise is still there. Sometimes our memory fades, though. Sometimes what I'm saying is this, sometimes if we don't see evidence, if we don't see certain things happening before our eyes, in the time when we should be more faithful, in the time when we need to have more faith, sadly, sometimes we find that that's when we have the least amount of faith. You see, it is so easy for us to be faithful when we see things happening. It's easy for us to be faithful whenever we can see God working in our life or someone else's life. It's easy to be faithful when people are getting saved left and right. It's easy, isn't it? However, whenever we find ourselves in a time, in a period when maybe we don't see the results the way that we were before. Maybe it's been a while since somebody's been saved. Maybe it's been, you know, things are just kind of floating along, as we say. That's when, and though faith is always important, that's when we've got to really exercise our faith. And we have to look back and remember the promises that God has made to us, because we don't always see the evidence of them in front of us. You see, when you get saved and you're excited about salvation and God's doing so many things in your life, and you see all these things happening in your life, you don't have a whole lot of doubts to yourself about your salvation, do you? Let 5 years, 10 years, 25 years, 30 years go by, and maybe things have, God has not leveled off, but maybe you have allowed things, we have allowed things to kind of settle in. And then it is easier for us to wonder or doubt or struggle with our assurance. But God hasn't changed, and salvation hasn't changed, and you're still just as saved. But we put too much into just what we see. But faith is the substance of things not seen. And so we put a lot into what we see. Now this covenant, this promise of the covenant, remember, the rainbow is not the covenant, it's a sign. It's a reminder. The covenant hasn't changed. You can't go outside right now and find a rainbow in the sky, but God's promise still remains that He's not going to wipe us out with a flood. And we have to remember that even when we can't see the sign, even when we can't see things going on in front of our eyes, that God hasn't changed, and that He is still God, and that He is still working. And that sometimes there are, like we mentioned this morning, there are desert places. There are places where we have to wait and we remain faithful, and maybe it takes a while before we start to see something again. But remember, faith is that instrument that we employ when we can't see what's going on, when we can't see the rainbow When we can't see the end of the flood in sight, we go by faith. So though you'll go outside the next time that it rains and you'll look for a rainbow and you'll find one and you'll be reminded of the promise of God, when that storm or that rain has subsided and that sign is no longer visible, God has not changed and neither has His covenant. God's promises are not dependent upon our circumstances. It's not dependent upon what we think is going on. They're dependent upon God and who He is. And so I just want to point a few things out tonight. I want us to be reminded of how often we forget things. And we need to do a better job of keeping things in remembrance. The promises of God do not fade. Oftentimes our memories do. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews 13 and verse 8. Very short verse, very simple verse, one that we all know. But what a promise. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. What a promise. You've been through a lot of change in your life. You've been through a lot of change this year. Has our country seen a lot of change this year? Has the world seen a lot of change this year? This phrase that everybody uses, they say, new normal. I get so tired of hearing about the new normal. When man has no idea what's going to happen tomorrow, we're so sure that everything's just going to stay the way. New normal. I get so tired of hearing that for two reasons. One, you have no idea what tomorrow is going to be like. You don't even know if we're going to get tomorrow. And another reason that phrase bothers me is, when were we normal? It isn't normal for a nation to live the way our nation's been living. Well, let me back up. It might be normal as far as the nations are concerned, but it isn't right. Hey, if normal is killing in the streets and taking the lives of unborn children and homosexuality and adultery and fornication and just foul, vile living, if that's normal, well, then I'd welcome a new normal. But you know what? One day we will have a new normal, won't we? We'll leave this earth behind and we'll spend eternity in heaven, and that'll be our new normal, the absence of sin. Now look here. He says there in chapter 8, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Things might be changing all around you. God isn't changing. Don't let your faith change. Unless it was weak, let it be strengthened. Unless it was weak, let it be strengthened. Now look right over there at James chapter 1. Promises of God do not fade. James chapter 1, 16 and 17. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights. Here's what I want us to see. With whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. No variableness, no shadow of turning. God is constant. God is right on down the line. God is complete and we are complete in Him. And what's going to change in God? Nothing. He doesn't change His plan. He doesn't change His promises. There are things that our prayers can affect in our lives, but God's promises and God's plan remain. No variableness, no shadow of turning. And so God's promises don't fade. And we see that in the proof that thousands of years have gone by since Noah, and we're still looking at rainbows in the sky, and we still haven't been wiped out with another flood. Local floods have caused a lot of damage, yes. We haven't been wiped out by a global flood since the day of Noah. His promise doesn't change. Hebrews says yesterday, today, forever. God hasn't changed. James said there's no variableness, no shadow of turning. God doesn't change. God still hasn't changed. Okay, then, what changes? We see the rainbow fade. And more than likely, when you go out and it's raining and you see a rainbow in the sky, you'll think about that. But through the rest of the day, the rest of the week, the rest of the month, how much talking do you do about that rainbow? How much thinking do you do about what it represents? It comes and it goes, and then we go right on back to business as usual, don't we? How much time do we give it? Well, that's what happens sometimes when God works in our life. We will see something. Okay, we will see we'll see the promise of God. We will see God working in our life. We will see something that will bring it to our memory. But then, when we're past that thing, or we don't see what we saw before, how prone are we to forget? Okay? I want you to turn with me to Numbers chapter 11. We'll just look at a couple of things here. Numbers chapter 11. And verse 1. Numbers chapter 11 and verse 1, the Bible says, let me make sure I'm in the right spot here. And when the people complained, it displeased the Lord, and the Lord heard it, and his anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burnt among them and consumed them that were in the uttermost parts of the camp. And the people cried unto Moses, and when Moses prayed unto the Lord, the fire was quenched. He called the name of the place Taberah, because the fire of the Lord burnt among them. Now look, and the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting, and the children of Israel also wept again and said, who shall give us flesh to eat? We remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. But now our soul is dried away. There's nothing at all beside this manna before our eyes. And the manna was as coriander seed, and the color thereof as the color of delium. They said, here we are. Here we are out here in this wilderness. And they're crying and they're complaining. And if you back up there, it says, when the people complained, it displeased the Lord. And the Lord heard it, and his anger was kindled. And the fire of the Lord burnt among them and consumed them that were in the uttermost part of the camp. Fire of the Lord came down. And then they complained even more. They complain. Here comes the fire of the Lord to deal with their complaining. And then they complain even more. And they start saying, oh, we're just going to die out here. We've got nothing to eat. Now, this response of theirs is wrong for a couple of reasons. For one, you got to be pretty, there's got to be something wrong going up here if you want to go back to where you were eating salad, leeks, garlics, melon. You got to be pretty, you got to be in pretty bad shape. You got to be pretty worked up. Just, oh, I want to go back to the. Now stop and think about that. Okay, stop and think about this. Here you have manna. Food that comes directly from heaven every morning, and all you have to do is go out and pick it up and eat it. There's no driving to Walmart, driving to Kroger, Basler's. There's no, pick it up and eat it. And there's no empty shelves. You know, right now people are, there are some things that it's kind of hard to get because some factories were closed down and make no mistake, there's still plenty of food in this country. We're not going to go hungry, but we're not dependent upon the food supply of this country to feed us. We're dependent upon God, and He has the cattle of 1,000 hills, so we're not worried about that. There's plenty of food in this country. There's plenty of everything in this country. You just go to the store and can't find what you want on the shelves. It's because some factories were shut down for a while, and they're trying to get caught back up, and then shipping was slowed down for a while. We're just, you know, take a while to get that back where it needs to be. But they didn't have that situation. Get up. You know, when we do the men's camp out, just had a men's camp out the other night. And 6:30 rolls around and the alarm goes off. 6:30 rolls around, the alarm goes off, and I get up and I go up to the bathhouse and get cleaned up and come back and get the fire going and get the skillet on, and everybody else is sitting around watching me like a pack of wolves just waiting for it to be done, you know. It's a lot of work, especially when you went to bed late and you're tired and you get up. But don't you think about that? What'd they have to do? Just come out of the tent and pick it up. Just come out of the tent and gather it. There it is. We don't have any water. Smack that rock. Get something to drink. It'd be a nice trick to be able to do, wouldn't it? Listen. Oftentimes when people gripe and complain, the griping and the complaining really isn't founded in anything sensible, is it? These people are complaining and talking about how good it was back when they were slaves. These are not generations removed. Okay? We do not have generations removed. We do not have a group of people that we're not dealing with their children's children later on who didn't know anything about Egypt. These were those that God brought out of Egypt. They remembered. They knew. They remembered. They knew. And here they are. They've been set free. They've been brought out of bondage. Egypt is behind them. Egypt is behind them, and now what's going on? Boy, we wish we were back there. We had melons and onions and garlic and leeks and cucumbers and oh boy. We had salad and some melon. Listen, you look at verse 6, boy, if it's not bad enough that they want to go back to where they were in bondage, they go a step further and complain about what God's done for them. They're not complaining that God hasn't done anything. They're complaining about something that he has done. It says, but now our soul is dried away. There is nothing at all beside this manna before our eyes. Complaining about food from heaven. Complaining about what God has provided. There's nothing. There's nothing. All we have is this manna. Come on, you sometimes will go into the kitchen and you'll look around and you'll say, there's nothing to eat. The pantry is full. The cabinets are full. The fridge is full. And you say, there's nothing to eat. When what you really mean is, I don't want any of this. There's nothing that I want to eat. God had made provision and they had grown tired and whining and complaining because of his provision. The problem wasn't with God. It wasn't with what he provided them with. It was they got tired of it. My favorite. The female equivalent of a man walking around in the kitchen saying there's nothing to eat is a wife walking around in her closet saying I've nothing to wear. Okay? As long as we have been married, I guess I don't know. I'll have to get it out and read it again, see if there's some fine print on the marriage certificate. But I must have signed an agreement giving up 3/4 of the closet. Because that's all I've ever got is about a quarter of it. She's got all the rest of it. Easy now. Listen, I can say it. John, you're just asking for it. Are you the one who said amen, or was that Ben? Was that John?
No.
Who was it? It was John. Boy, you asking for it. What's that? Poor fella. John got to walk all the way upstairs, get his clothes. See what I mean? See what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Hang on. Let's move on. Let's move on. We'll be in marriage counseling all week. You know what that means? That means it's here. I don't want it. I've worn that. Oh, I don't want to eat that again. It's... The provision's been made. You get tired. God brought them out of Egypt. They got tired. And then they started whining. They started complaining. Now look, it says, look at verse 8. And the people went about and gathered it and ground it in mills or beat it in a mortar and baked it in pans and made cakes of it. Well, again, leeks, garlic, melons, onions, or cakes. And the taste of it was as the taste of fresh oil. And when the dew fell upon the camp in the night, manna fell upon it. Egypt is behind them. They were in bondage. They were slaves. They were under the control, not of God at that point, but of Pharaoh. God wrought wonderful miracles and signs, brought them out, drowned Pharaoh's army. And now here they are. Oh, all we have is this manna. It's funny they remember the food back in Egypt, but they don't remember the slavery part of it. You say, oh, they remember it. Well, not according to John chapter 8. Look at John chapter 8. Maybe selective memory. I don't know. Maybe they were all men. I don't know. John chapter 8. The ladies say we have selective hearing. John chapter 8. Many years have gone by, and there's a bunch of Jews here. And look what it says in verse 33. And they answered him, "We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free?" We're Jews. We've never been in bondage to any man. Egypt, the Babylonians, currently under Rome while you're saying this. Folks, this is what the flesh does. This is what man does. He doesn't like something that's going on, or it's not going the way that he wants it to, and he begins to complain and forget about the promises of God and like it the way that it is. We were never in bondage. You've always been in bondage. You have always been in bondage. Since you went into Egypt, you've been in bondage. How are things going for them in the Middle East right now? Are they dwelling in the land peacefully? I think it was a professor, like a visiting... I think it was a missionary, a French missionary that taught a class that I took, and he was talking about when he went to Israel. I think it was him. And he was saying that the Israeli Air Force never comes down out of the sky. He said, if you're over there, there are jets constantly in the sky patrolling the airways around Israel. If you'll remember, and I don't remember exactly who it was, but we had a missionary or someone visiting here that was talking to us about Israel. And do you remember him talking about the bomb shelters along the road? That every so many blocks, there are these doors that lead down into these bomb shelters. And if an air raid siren basically goes off, they scramble as fast as they can to get... Now you think about that. They're not dwelling in the land peacefully yet. And here they say, we've never been in bondage. God brings them out of Israel, or out of Egypt, excuse me. He brings Israel out of Egypt, taking care of them out in the wilderness. And sometimes we get this, we don't think about this. We think about the pictures that we see of the land today, and we see a lot of desert and things like that, and we know that they spent some time in the desert. But you know, the Bible says that they were in the wilderness. They're in the trees. They're in the woods. It's easy to get mixed up and turned around in there. And the trees and the briars and the shrubs and things, they'll rip your clothes. They'll wear your clothing out. Not them. God made sure that their clothes didn't get old, that their shoes didn't get old. They had food every morning. But all they wanted was to go back. Look, here's what I'm saying. Man just has this thing about him called a faulty memory, where it's just so easy for us to forget the goodness of God. Don't you think they were happy and excited when that manna first was coming down? They weren't complaining on day one, but then after a while, they got used to the promise of God. Maybe that's what we do. We kind of get used to the promise of God. We get used to the idea that I'm saved and going to heaven and I can't lose my salvation. I kind of get used to the fact that I've got a Bible. I kind of get used to the fact that I've got seven or eight of them. I get used to the fact that I can take my pick of, you know, four church services through the week. You just kind of get used to it. We have this problem with our memory. We have this problem where we don't realize, remember, man, when I first got saved, I couldn't get enough of the Lord. And he hasn't failed me, and he's kept all of his promises. What's going on now? What's going on now? I want to close with this, Psalm 103. Here's what we've looked at. The sign of God's promise, that sign of the rainbow, It might fade from our sight, but God and His promises do not change. And since we can't see that rainbow all the time, we have to make a conscious effort to be in God's Word and remind ourselves of His promises. When we observe the Lord's table, it was something that the Lord gave us to do in remembrance of Him. Why? Because we're prone to forget. It's so easy for us to forget how good we've had it. You know, Israel, they were admonished, the forefathers, the older ones, were admonished to tell their children and their grandchildren about Egypt so that they wouldn't go back into another Egypt. You see, what is the saying? Those that don't know history are bound to repeat it. Isn't that something along those, about how it goes? Who said that? Good job. I guess. I don't know if you, John said he did. I don't know if you, we're just going to take your word on that one. She's right? It's a big deal. You back her up. I could say she's wrong. What's it? We're going to go with our two teachers. Penny says, she's right, trust me. Okay, after the service, tell me who Edmund Burke was. I only know what he said and didn't know he said it. Okay, if you don't, it's a very good saying. It's a very good quote. Do you think that it is accident? Do you think it's coincidence that people today who want to see such radical changes in our nation are trying to rewrite history and take pages out of history books and teach more social studies than history? Do you think that's a coincidence? No. You see, if Friday was the anniversary of 9/11, and I saw that there was a group that went out in Washington, D.C., I don't know if it was the White House lawn or where it was. Well, it wouldn't have been the lawn of the White House. They wouldn't have that kind of access. But somewhere in the Capitol, they put one American flag in the ground, the little, for every single casualty, every single person we lost on 9/11. And this group that did this has this initiative. This thing that they're trying to do is to make sure that the younger generation knows about what happened. Not everybody's going to get behind that, especially when you want people to think that Islam is a religion of peace. You're not going to want people to remember what they did. And you know, to you, to us adults in here, that wasn't that long ago. But you know, my youngest child wasn't even alive when it happened. And the rest of my children, let's see, that was in 01. So Ashton wasn't even born. I got two of my four children weren't even born when it happened, which means there's no way my boys remember it. They were only a few years old, my oldest boys, only a few years old. And to the rest of us, it doesn't seem like that long ago, does it? And we could tell you where we were when we heard about it, when we saw it. We can tell you all kinds of things. That's why it's so important for us to turn around and teach our children history so they know where we came from. They know the consequences. They know things that happened. But if you want to make radical change, you'll try to change that and keep them from knowing what happened or give them a different story. Listen, the fathers in Israel were supposed to tell their children about Egypt. They were supposed to tell them how God brought them out, so that they wouldn't go back into Egypt or another Egypt. And they failed to do what they were supposed to do. And Israel's been in bondage ever since. They went into the promised land, and instead of going in and wiping out everybody like the Lord told them to, they wiped out some of them. Instead of getting rid of everything that belonged to them, they got rid of some things. And then they were led right back into idol worship over and over and over and over again. Then they'd turn back to God and they would go right back. Listen, we are so prone to forget. especially if what's in front of our eyes changes. But it doesn't matter the circumstances. God doesn't change. His promises don't change. And you and I have to make a conscious effort to remind ourselves that God doesn't change and His promises don't change, no matter what's going on around us. Whether we're in Egypt, whether we're in Canaan, whether we're eating salad or we're eating manna, we have to be sure that we keep it in the forefront of our minds, keep it that our memory stays sharp, where God brought me from, what His promise to me is, and though my circumstances might say something different, He doesn't change. There's no variableness, no shadow of turning. No matter what my circumstances try to tell me. And so, the promises of God do not fade. Our memory does. So we need to take issue with our memory, not with God's promises. We need to do something to remind ourselves. Okay, what should we do? I think, you know, the word best is an opinion. You know, you say, well, this is the best. And really about the only time that best is not up for argument is when you say, this is the best book ever written. Okay? That's not opinion, that's truth. But we get in here and we might say, well, I think this is the best passage of the Bible, or I think this is the best verse about that, and we might differ on that. It's all good, though. This is what I think is probably the best place for us to look tonight, Psalm 103. If you're dealing with a faulty memory or having to be reminded of what God's done, look at Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. You know why you're told not to forget what God's done for you? Because you will forget. If you don't make a conscious effort to remember, you will forget. Now look, who forgiveth all thine iniquities? So when the devil tries to come back and say, no, you're not really saved, you're still going to hell. You go back, no. He forgave all my iniquities. Who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known His ways unto Moses, His acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. Hey, if you ever just get down and kind of feel like, boy, God's just not really doing much right now, go to Psalm 103 and look at all the things you probably forgot that He's already done and still doing in your life. Pardon me. He will not always chide, neither will He keep His anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. That could be my favorite in this passage. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so hath He removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. I like this one. For He knoweth our frame, He remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear Him, and His righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep His covenant, and to those that remember His commandments to do them. What's He say? He says, look, His mercy is from everlasting to everlasting. He doesn't change. His mercy's not going away. He doesn't change. His mercy isn't going away. That's not going to change. But in the very first part of this psalm, it says, forget not. He won't change. His mercy won't change. But you're liable to forget that if you don't keep your eyes on Him and keep your eyes in the book. The Lord hath prepared His throne in the heavens, and His kingdom ruleth over all. That hasn't changed.
Bless the Lord, ye his angels that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all his hosts, ye ministers of his that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Okay, what are we saying? God makes a promise not to wipe the entire earth out with a flood ever again. And that promise still stands. He will not do that. The sign of that promise is his bow in the clouds, a rainbow. We can go outside when it's raining and see that. But it will fade, won't it? And we go in a few hours and we're not thinking about that promise. But we do that with a lot of things in our lives. We look at the circumstances around us and we forget. If we're not presently reading his word, if we don't have it right in front, we're prone to forget, hey, now I know the promise God's made to me. He's not going to leave me nor forsake me. He's going to come back and get me. Nobody's going to pluck me out of his hand. I'm not going through the tribulation. He's going to get me out of here before that. He's never lost one. He's not going to lose one. But if we're not careful, like Israel, we're prone to forget his promises. His promises don't fade. We sometimes look at fading circumstances and our memories fade. And then we start to complain and get down and gripe and want to go back to Egypt and want to have that and want to have this. And we're no longer happy with what God has done for us because this here fades. And Psalm 103 says, hey, you be sure you go back often and be reminded. You trust your memory and it's going to fail you. It's wonderful that God has given us, he didn't just tell us with a voice from heaven his word and not give us a written account of it, isn't it? Isn't it great that we have it written down, that I can go back and reference it when I have forgotten certain things? You have probably heard the story of the elderly man and woman sitting out on the porch. She said, I'm going to go get some ice cream. And he said, I'll have some too. She said, I want some chocolate syrup on mine. He said, okay. She said, write it down. You're going to forget it. He said, no, I won't. She said, well, put some pecans on it for me too. And write it down. He said, I don't need to write it down. She said, you're going to forget it before you get to the kitchen. He said, I will not. You want ice cream with chocolate syrup and pecans? She said, put some whipped cream on there. Write it down. You're going to forget it. He said, I can remember ice cream, chocolate syrup, pecans, and whipped cream from here to the kitchen. She said, okay. Well, he left and he was gone about half an hour, 45 minutes, beating, banging around. He came back with a big plate of toast and eggs. Two plates of toast and eggs. She said, I told you if you didn't write it down, you'd forget my bacon. Do you find yourself, the older you get, making more and more notes to yourself? And now, I'll share this with you real quick. I'm about to go crazy because I made this big, long list of things that we still need to finish up around the house. I mean, we're moved in, but we've got the, and I have not been able to find it for about 2 weeks, and it's about to drive me crazy. Because I can remember some of the major things, but there's other things. I guess I should say, oh, well, if I can't see them and I don't remember them, just forget about it. But listen, isn't it good to go back to something written down and say, ah, see, now I forgot I was supposed to do that. That's why I wrote it down. Hey, God knows how forgetful we are. That's why he wrote it down. We have to make the conscious effort to be in it and to be reminded of what God has done for us, because in our flesh, we'll forget. Our memory will fail us. God doesn't change. His promises do not fade. Our memory does. So let's be sure that we keep his promises ever before us so that we will forget not all his benefits. We're going to forgo our song this evening. I'm just going to pray. And we're going to be dismissed. Heavenly Father, we thank you for what you've taught us tonight in your word. Lord, it's so important for us to be reminded. Remind us through preaching. Remind us through your word. Remind us through the words of others. But help us to keep your promises ever before us and to stay in your word, Lord, and so that we would not forget all your benefits. Lord, we ask that your hand would be upon us as we go home now. And if you don't take us home before Wednesday, we ask that you'd bring us back here, Lord, for another wonderful time in your word and in prayer. And Lord, we do pray for those situations in our church right now. We pray for Brother Linus so fervently, Lord. And we pray for Brother Dwayne. And we pray for Brother Ben, Sister Barbara, Anna, Orpha, Rosalie. It's got people just dealing with a lot of things right now, Lord. And some have been going on for a long time, and some are a little more recent. Lord, keep us strong. Keep us encouraged. Give us the comfort that only you can give us. Help us to be a better witness this week than we were last week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You are dismissed.